Welcome to the Women Who Drone podcast. Join our community. Head to womenwhodrone.co to sign up for online courses, drone lessons, workshops, and more. womenwhodrone.co. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today for our Women Who Drone podcast series. I'm your host, Elena Buenrostro, the founder of Women Who Drone, and today we have Christine Lozada as our guest. Christine is a drone pilot, creator, Women Who Drone ambassador, and a nonstop traveler. In less than 2 years, she has helped thousands of people to get started with drones. In 2021, over 2 million people have seen her drone videos, and she's a finalist for winning awards as a trailblazing creator. She is also passionate about empowering and inspiring more women and people to fly drones. Welcome, Christine. Thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm so excited to be here. Drones is one of my favorite things to talk about.
I can definitely see by the look of all of your content and all of your videos and your website. I'm super excited to chat with you today and just learn everything about your travels, your content, and your experience with drones. But before we dive into that, I would love to get to know you as a person, your background. Where did you grow up? Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, actually, I grew up maybe where you are right now in Southern California. I was born and raised in San Diego, and that is amazing. My hometown.
Oh my God, I love to hear it. Yes, I was born and raised in San Diego too, currently in Little Italy. Whereabouts in San Diego were you growing up?
I grew up in Encinitas in North County, San Diego.
Okay, yes, I do recall us having this conversation quite a while ago, but it's always great to meet a fellow San Diegan because I feel like I never run into them outside of San Diego, obviously, but when I was living in New York or San Francisco, it was very rare to meet a San Diegan because most of us don't leave the city.
That I was going to say, of course you don't, because it's such an amazing place that there's no reason to leave. It's also a fantastic place to fly drones.
It is, absolutely. I mean, perfect weather. Can't complain. It's raining today, funny enough, but for the most part, it's fairly easy to get out and just drive and, you know, fly your drone wherever. So that's amazing to learn. What about just after San Diego? Where did you go? What did you do to lead you up to where you're at now? You travel the world. Tell us more of how you got there.
That's a great question that a lot of people ask me. And after San Diego, I decided to stay California. So I went and got my education in Northern California at UC Berkeley. And afterwards, I was determined to be a businesswoman. And so after that, I went on to live in San Francisco and I did marketing and business strategy for Walmart.com for a very long time and decided to keep that city life. And I did the same kind of work for Amazon, but in New York City. So I lived in Manhattan for 4 years. And I realized like, wow, I love to travel. I spend a lot of time in a cubicle and I want to find more freedom in my life. And so I found a company that would allow me to do the same work, but while being remote. And so I basically, for the last 7 years, have not been in one place for more than 3 weeks. Until the pandemic, when we had lockdown in place. And so I have basically nonstop traveled the world. And that's when I realized, wow, like I'm a really good, smart traveler that knows a lot about places. And that's when I started my YouTube channel to help encourage more people to travel smarter. And so I make the video you have to see before you travel to a place, because it will give you not just inspiration, but super helpful tips and tricks. And so that's how I came to where I am today as a nonstop traveler, located in lots of different places, but creating videos.
I love that. That's incredible. And I feel like that's everyone's dream. Work remote, travel the world, create content, share it with people to inspire them. And, you know, just give them some wonderful tips. I think it's a great feeling to help people in general. So if you can do it through your own passion, it sounds like that's what you're doing. That's even better. So within the 7 years of traveling, when was it that you decided that you wanted to add a drone to your skill set? What was that moment like when you discovered a drone and you're like, holy moly, I need to buy a drone? I'm sorry, that's my dog.
This is a great question, because when I decided to actually start becoming a travel creator was right before the pandemic. And so I started in summer of 2019. And at that time, I myself, as a traveler, constantly was using YouTube to learn how to travel to different places around the world. And during that time, I saw so many amazing creators with drones. And I was like, wow, what a perfect way to capture the beauty of these places and be able to storytell. And I said to myself, I really want to do it too. And what I learned after that was so many people told me, like, no, everyone's doing it. It's like, you shouldn't get a drone. And that really fueled me to definitely get a drone. And so it wasn't until January of 2020, so it hasn't even been 2 years yet, that I added a drone to my repertoire of shooting with my iPhone and GoPro, which is a very simple setup, that I got the Mavic Mini, and that's when I started flying drones and continuing to create travel content on January 2020, right? That's right before the
Yeah.
pandemic started. And so it was at that time that I started flying.
Amazing. So I think what it's been about almost 2 years since you got your first drone, and you've already touched so many lives with your content and how you get started with a drone. I was looking through the resources on your website, which are incredible, helping people figure out what drone they should buy by taking a little survey. If you haven't seen that, everybody go to Christine's website. It's super cool. So what was, I guess, it seems like you may have pivoted from sharing all these tips in different places, and you're probably still doing that, but now you're kind of taking a focus on drones. Can you tell us more about that transition and why you wanted to do that?
That's a great question. Actually, you know what? I'm going to tell you the real reason why, which is something a lot of people don't know. And you are a traveler also. And one thing for me, I love to travel alone. I love traveling by myself. And I think it's one of the most empowering things. And I spend a lot of time trying to help other women, encourage other women to take their first solo trips. And that feeling I had on my first solo trip is the same feeling I have every time I fly my drones. It's a very, very empowering feeling. You feel like you literally have wings. I have goosebumps right now. And you have the ability to discover the world from the sky, from the power of your drone with the control in your hands. And so for me, I have always traveled and created videos. And in that time, so many people have seen my drone shots. And so many people ask me, like, how do I get into flying drones? If Christine can do it, what, like, can I do it? I think I can do it too. And people started coming to me. Lots of women started coming to me in droves. And one of the things behind why I want to help so many people is not just because I truly do believe it is very simple and easy to get into flying. There's just a misperception around how challenging it is. I don't think that's right. But more so around, I can't tell you what it feels like to have, never mind, you probably already know this, to get so many DMs of women being like, wow, I bought my first drone and just had my first flight. Or you get the photo of the first photo they've ever taken. Or they're telling you about what their first flight was like and the empowerment that they feel that they have overcome something that they didn't think they could do and now they can. And then now they're doing the same thing. The goosebumps because now they can discover the world with their drone. Now they can take pictures of themselves while they're traveling alone. And the list just goes on. And that is why I have really jumped over to focusing on trying to help people to fly drones and get into it very easily. But there's something behind that, right? And almost all of it, you'll see me with my pink hoops on, with my hair down, with my lipstick on, because I want women to know, like, you can do this too. This is not just a boys' club. Like, everyone can do it, including you.
Absolutely. It's a chain reaction when you get to inspire people with the work you're doing, and then they go do it, and then they keep doing it. And it's so funny because hearing you speak, it's almost like a mirror. When I first started flying drones, I had a very similar experience. I have shared this story so many times, but very similar to you. Got a lot of DMs in my account asking how to get started. Is there any tips and tricks you can share? And it's you get this feeling where you're inspiring someone else and you want to help them as much as you can. And there's something about flying a drone, but also traveling alone that gives you this sense of presence. I often tell people that when I fly my drone, I am very present because you have to be. You have to monitor your drone, the battery life, you have to do a lot of different things at once, the airspace, et cetera, et cetera. But oftentimes people are stuck in the past or the future, and a lot of the world is not present. But when you fly a drone or you do something exhilarating like scuba diving, which I want to talk about in a second, you are very present because you have to be, because your life or your drone is on the line. And so I think that's the special thing about flying drones or even being in aviation, flying a plane, et cetera, is that it keeps you in your most present moment, which is very important for a lot of people, all of us, in our well-being, right?
Preach. I cannot agree more. I agree 100%.
Yeah. And it's funny, I didn't recognize that when I started flying drones. I didn't understand why I felt this way, but I'm starting to realize as I become more, I guess, I'm practicing consciousness and meditation and understanding the importance of being present, flying a drone gets you there.
Absolutely.
And I highly recommend to everyone who is trying to find something that's therapeutic, it's a great way to
Yes.
become present. As I mentioned, I want to pivot. You are an avid scuba diver, if not professional, because you've gone scuba diving over 100 times. I was reading about you.
Have.
I would love to just, sometimes on these podcasts we talk about drones, but there are more to people and our community and our brand ambassadors than just flying drones. They have, other hobbies. So would love to just learn more about that. I'm sure you've traveled to different places and scuba dived in other places. Can you tell us more about this experience
Yeah.
that you have?
And actually, scuba diving is very closely related to why I fly drones also. And so for me, I have an endless summer. Because I grew up in San Diego with the perfect weather that you're experiencing right now, minus the rain today. I
Yeah.
love being in warm climates and around the ocean all the time. And so every place I travel to is generally a beach destination. And I like to explore the land, just like we all do when we travel. But now with scuba diving, I can explore the entire world underneath the water, underneath the ocean. And now with my drone, I can explore from the sky. And so it's literally my way of hugging all of the places that I travel to because I can see it from every angle, from land,
That's beautiful.
from sky. And it's one of the most fascinating and amazing ways for me to experience the world. And so scuba diving for me, in the same way that drones for me were this whole like, can I do that? I can do that. I'm gonna do this. That was the same thing for me with scuba diving. And actually, even though I grew up in San Diego, I grew up afraid of the ocean because I was around so many people that are surfers, and surfers are always afraid of sharks and being in the water. There's stingrays. You got to shuffle your feet. There's jellyfish. There's sharks, et cetera, et cetera. And so I was just afraid of the ocean growing up. I would go in, but always hesitantly and not freely. I wasn't the girl that was just diving in and swimming for a few miles and then, going home afterwards in San Diego. And so it was while I was traveling the world and I was in one of the places that I was so excited to explore. My parents were born in the Philippines, and I was spending 5 weeks in the Philippines, and I was in some of the best destinations to scuba dive. And I was snorkeling in that moment, seeing phenomenal things. Snorkeling is amazing. And I told myself, no, like now is the time. And so I spent the next week getting my scuba certification. Fell in love with the ocean, a very similar experience to what I had on my first drone flight, where you look at your screen and you're yelling, "Oh my gosh, like look at
Ha
that, like look at how beautiful this shot is, like look at what I can see." I had that same experience on my first scuba dive, in which I rounded this corner and I looked up, and this was in Koh Tao, Thailand, and I saw 1,000 little fish and all these colorful corals. And in that moment, I was so thankful I was underwater because I started ugly crying. I guess no one would know because we all have scuba masks on or snorkeling masks on. And I was like, wow, this is the moment that I'm overcoming my fear, doing something that feels so empowering, enables me to see the world in a completely new environment. And that's exactly how I feel about drones. But that's how I got into scuba diving. fast forward, it's something I've done in a lot of places around the world, and now have over 100 dives under my belt.
That is incredible. And I'm smiling over here because you mentioned you were afraid of the ocean growing up in San Diego. I am afraid of the ocean. I am just laughing because I'm like, oh my God, Christine, I relate to you in so many ways right now. It's crazy. I still have a really huge fear of the ocean, to be honest. I've never even surfed. I just kind of am afraid of the unknown and what's underneath me, which is kind of crazy because we shouldn't be afraid of the unknown.
Unknown is what's curious, because with beautiful imaginations, we turn it into something crazy, right? In the same
We
way,
do,
I hear so many women
but it
saying,
can be
like,
beautiful.
right, I can't fly drones because, and then their imagination runs wild. And it's
Yes.
like, no, just try once. And
Yeah.
for me, I did not get over my fear of the ocean right after I learned to scuba dive.
Right.
It
Okay.
wasn't until I took time to have my face 2 inches from the things that I was afraid of, to learn that that unknown was something that, like, I just assumed every shark, every eel, every ray was going to attack me. And what I realized was, no, nobody underwater cares about me at all. Like, they
Yeah.
just go about their business. And it wasn't until I could face that and learn about it, so it became from unknown to known, that my fear went away. But until I got close to it, I was just going to continue to be afraid because I have a great imagination.
Yeah, and it takes that practice. I went scuba diving once in Bali and it was amazing, lovely. After that, I was like, I can never do that again. That really scared the shit out of me. I mean, but now hearing you talk about it, I'm super inspired. And that is the importance of storytelling, is you hear other people's stories, their experiences, how they've overcome their fears. That makes you want to get out there and actually go and try that thing, which is what we do with the stories that we're sharing about drones. And it is the same, your scuba diving experience. It is the same for drones. If you fly more and more and more, eventually you're not going to be afraid. I was deadly afraid of flying my drone the first few times I got it, as we all are. And then you get used to it. You know, the saying is, practice makes perfect. If you don't practice, you're going to be afraid.
Exactly. No more sweaty hands when you're flying drones anymore. No
Yeah,
grip on the sticks.
absolutely. I mean, my hands sweat all the time, so I can't say that for myself, but for other people, yes.
Fair.
No, that is really incredible. So kind of want, I mean, knowing that you've gone to so many places, you've taken your drone, I would love to learn, and this is a question we get a lot from our community, is your experience traveling with a drone, what that's like, have you encountered any issues, and do you have any tips for anybody that wants to know about that topic?
That's a good question. And it's one I get the most, right? Because I'm constantly traveling and bringing my drones to different places. And I would say it's very similar to how I constantly have to look up what the current situation and rules are for traveling during the pandemic. It's honestly no different than drones. And so many people are like, there should be a central database that has all the rules published in one spot that I can search. And it's like, we wish that existed for a lot of things, right? Including the answers to life.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, how do you get into so and so country for the pandemic, it's no different than with drones. And with drones becoming so popular so quickly, the rules are changing all the time, and we need to flex, adapt, and just continue to do our research. And so for me, I'm always starting with trying to find the equivalent of the FAA, the Federal Administration, Aviation Administration, for that country. Start with the government websites, do my education. And sometimes, you find what you're looking for. Sometimes you have to read a lot of things on Google. But another resource I love to use, to be honest, is Reddit. And that's because you can talk to pilots who are on the ground now. And instead of, hearsay or, oh, well, this blog post said this, but that one said that, you can get a vibe for what it's like right now. And it doesn't mean that's the answer, in the same way that 1-star Yelp review for your favorite restaurant is going to not make you go there anymore. You're gathering information to make a final decision on something. And so that's how I kind of think about traveling with my drone and should I bring it here or there. But I would say one tip that I have is that, kind of in the same way with traveling in general, even though there's certain cultural norms wherever you are at in the world, it might not be that way in the place you're traveling to for drones. An example of that is I had an opportunity to ride a bike while camping in Ethiopia, where no tourists have ever been to before. The villagers would come down from their village to touch the tent because they've never felt that material before. And so in that place, when it came to flying my drone, I would probably spook these villagers if I was constantly flying near their homes or around them, because they wouldn't understand what it is, and nor would I be able to start having a conversation with them about what it is, because that language and English are not at all the same. And so instead, my tip is, if in the place you're going to, if drones are not something that's commonplace and not everyone knows about it, I'm conscious of, okay, maybe I will only fly in more remote areas I'm in. I would take my mountain bike and ride out quite a ways to be able to go to get my shots, and fly a little bit more discreetly without bothering anyone and not in their villages or around. And I wanted to take photos and videos of it because it was so beautiful there, but I was really choosy of where I would launch my drone. And so that's one tip I have to consider in the places that people travel to.
Got it. Very, very helpful. And I absolutely agree with that. Now, I know that there's so many places you've traveled to, and I want to hear all of the stories because I'm really enjoying talking to you right now. But I don't think we'd be able to go over that. But I did read that you just got back from a 3-week trip in the Maldives to do some drone work. Can you share more about that experience? I've always wanted to go to the Maldives, and I saw you on Instagram, and I was like, oh, can you go to the Maldives now? I guess you can, because Christine's there. Can you tell us?
I can. The Maldives are stunning. It's beautiful. It's the ultimate beach destination. And like I mentioned, I love chasing summer around the world and being around water. This was an interesting opportunity because it came as a result of me talking about drones, encouraging other people to fly drones, and putting my drone content out there. And so one of the things, going back to my love for the ocean, I've been tapped by a ocean nonprofit to help them bring the ocean to 1 billion people around the world. And what that means is, kind of like in Ethiopia, not everyone has access to go jump in the water all the time. I have been lucky to be around that growing up in San Diego and elsewhere, but so many people don't get to experience the ocean. And so they're trying to create lots of ocean content to bring it to everyone through different social channels. And so I had an opportunity to fly with them in the Maldives, fly drones for them. That was my job all day. I would fly.
Dream job.
I would fly maybe 10 to 12 batteries a day.
Wow.
That's a lot of flying drones. And simultaneously, we were on the boat because we were supporting a nonprofit that helps to educate the world and protect manta rays, which is going back to the diving story. I always, because they have, you know, these things are 20 plus feet large and they have these long stingers. I thought that they were all going to attack me under the water. But when you're in there with 80 to 100 of them at a time, you learn, wait a minute, they eat plankton and their stingers don't actually sting and they're harmless. I had no idea. Doesn't mean I was petting them. You're not allowed to pet them. But it meant I was no longer afraid of them. That was an aside. But my other job on this boat was to help the team find the manta rays. And so if you think about it from droning versus diving, how many manta rays can you find if you jump in the water and start swimming around? How many manta rays can you find if you send your drone, even for 10 minutes, just searching around an area? And so it was such a fun job where we would park the boat or the boat would be moving and they're like, can you just check really quick? Otherwise we're going to keep moving. And I was like, yeah, I'll fly the drones today. And so I would send a drone, look for manta rays. And if we would find them, then we would all get in the water together.
Wow.
So that was my most
trip. So
yeah, I'm thankful to be on land now.
That is so incredible. It sounds like the coolest job ever, especially because you have that experience of not only flying a drone and helping in that aspect, but you can also dive into the ocean with them because you have that experience. Was that a part of the plan, or were they just like, oh, that's extra
Absolutely.
And great?
No, that was a part of the plan. So I was capturing the ocean above with the drone and in the water with underwater.
Amazing.
Cameras. Yeah.
That's incredible. So great. So can you tell us more about, I guess, your most memorable experience flying your drone? Out of all the places you've been, is there this one moment where you will never forget this story? And anytime people ask you about your drone, you're like, this is that moment, and I'm going to tell you about it.
I have too many of them. I'm just going to pick the first one that pops in my head. And one of the things that's a really big misperception about being a travel creator is that you film everything. And I don't actually film everything. And a lot of times, I would say the majority of the time I fly my drone, I actually don't take a single photo or video. And part of the reason, I love to travel is discover the world. And that's the same thing as to why I love flying drones, because I can discover things I otherwise could not see with just standing wherever I'm at. And my most memorable moment was I knew that once a year, around the January, February timeframe, there's a black tip shark migration that happens in South Florida. In other words, hundreds of sharks will swim down the coast of Florida during this time. And it's like you basically can only see them if you're in a helicopter, an airplane, or you have a drone. And so I would go out every single day looking for them just to see if I could find a few sharks during this migration. And one of the days, the 10th day, when I was ready to give up, I sent my drone. And I found, oh, I just got goosebumps. I found 500 sharks in the water.
Wow.
These 500 sharks, they weren't far. Literally, if you got into the water and swam out, it would probably take you about 45 seconds to get to where they're at. They were very, very close to the land, but you could not see them from the land. It was fascinating because I'm sitting on the beach. They're just right in front of me, and you cannot see them unless you have a drone. And in that moment, I did record it, but it was the moment I learned how to fly my drones down to the last part of the battery because it was so fun to watch them. I flew batteries that day, and it was glorious. There were so many of them, and they would jump out of the water like fish. And they would, I don't know, like circle and play with each other like dolphins do. It was really, really neat. But that was one of my most favorite and memorable drone flights.
All right, so where can we see this footage? Because that sounds incredible.
What's amazing being a travel creator with a drone is that you have so much footage, like great footage. And even though for me, and I am notorious for posting on Instagram, if not every day, every other day, I post a lot. I haven't posted this yet.
Oh,
And I
wow.
haven't posted it because I have so much content. And this shot was taken last year in during the migration, or sorry, earlier this year, I guess. But it will be posted soon.
Okay, cool. So we'll have to keep an eye out for it because that story sounds incredible and I'm actually really curious what that looks like. And I wonder if someone would like actually, swam out there if there would be a problem, but who knows?
That's a good question. I'm not sure because oftentimes actually, this is funny. I help fishermen to find where the fish are at so that they can move their boat and fish in that area. And I oftentimes, when I'm sitting on the beach droning and someone wants to go out to snorkel, there are a lot of shark divers who just like to take photographs underwater of sharks. And they'll ask me if I'm seeing any, where did I last see them so that they could swim out to that area. But there's interest. People have interest in going out there.
That's super. That's yeah. I didn't think about that. That makes sense to use a drone to figure out the places where divers or, underwater photographers want to go and capture their content. A drone can be helpful in that aspect. So moving on to just production, post-production, can you tell us what drone you're flying now? Is it the same that you got last year in 2020? Did you get a new one? And any favorite drone accessories that you'd recommend or you can't live without?
That's a good question. The correct number of drones to have is always N plus one, in which N is your current number of drones. I currently fly, actually, I'll say I fly two and a half drones.
Okay.
So my first drone was the Mavic Mini. I still have it today. My second drone was the Mavic Air 2. Fantastic drone. I love it. Coming in the mail right now is the Mavic Air 2S, which I'm super excited about. Huge upgrade from the two. And I also fly the DJI FPV drone, which is a challenging drone to fly. I say I have two and a half drones because I decided to give back to a female creator in need who really wanted a drone but couldn't afford one. And so I gave her my Mavic Air 2. So that's on its way out with a new one on the way in. That's that story. But my favorite accessory, because I'm a traveler, I love the Mini and the Air drones. They fold up just like the Pro does, and it's so easy to travel with. The FPV is a completely different story because that drone does not fold up. And so the accessories I love for that is the DJI FPV backpack because it's a must-have to be able to keep that drone safe. But the second thing that I use across all of my drones is the polarized filter, especially for me because I'm always out around water on the ocean. It's so easy to have like glary, too bright photos. And so having that polarized filter helps tremendously. And that's my favorite accessory.
Absolutely, I agree. Yeah, I have the FPV drone too, and it is quite bulky. I imagine that, the upgrade that they add to that, maybe we'll have some folding legs, but we'll see.
I agree. I would say the other accessory you need with that drone is Dramamine.
Oh, that's true. If you're not used to the FPV feeling or point of view, it could be a little bit crazy at first, but yeah, it takes some getting used to, especially, and also I guess it just depends on like what you're trying to capture, but it is a different experience, absolutely. Now, in terms of like post-production, is there anything you can share about your process, whether it's video or whether it's photos or just uploading your content, anything, any tips or tricks you want to share with the audience?
Oh, do you have about 5 hours? I'm just kidding. I'll share.
Okay, let's do like the top three or
I'll share two tips. And these pertain to a lot of people who first get drones and they really want to share their footage on social media platforms. And I would say the two things that I suggest. One, a lot of people make it way too complicated and they're just now learning to fly a drone. They may not be a photographer prior to that, but they want to share this and they're like, oh my gosh, do I need to get Photoshop? Do I need all of these different apps? And I would say the majority of the editing that I do of what people see on my social media accounts has all been done in just the iPhone Photos app by cropping things. I try to keep things as natural as close to the color as possible, but I might saturate just a little bit, add vibrance. But all the cropping and all of the trimming is done just on my iPhone. Because I'm a nonstop traveler, I don't get a lot of time to be on my laptop doing these things. And I would say the second thing I suggest, it's the natural nature of every social platform to diminish the quality. So if you shoot in the highest quality in 4K and 5.4K, and then you put it on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube Shorts, wherever you put it, you'll realize like, whoa, like all of a sudden it looks pixelated. What happened? And that's because there are specific settings within each of those social platform apps where you can say, hey, keep my drone photos and videos looking good and keep the high quality. But you have to tell each app that to make sure it does that. So I would say, from a post-production standpoint, keep it easy. You don't have to use fancy software to show off the goods. And the other thing is to keep the high quality because so many drones can take phenomenal photos and videos. Make sure you have your settings right to be able to post it that way.
Yes, absolutely. So it sounds like we're referring to the RAW and JPEG. Make sure you're shooting in RAW and JPEG so you can use the quality if you ever want to get fancy and tease out those details.
Yes, yeah, so both that plus, like, even in let's just use Instagram for example.
Yeah.
You go under accounts, settings. This is going to sound weird. Data usage. There's a place where you specifically have to check the box for upload high quality. And if you don't check
Oh, okay.
it will actually
Downgraded.
optimize
Yeah.
your photos and videos to make them lower quality. So that's something a lot of
I
people.
did not know that. So I imagine a lot of people don't know that. So that's a really, really good tip. I am going to
Yeah.
have to do that after our call. All right. So we're nearing the end here. I have a couple more questions, but I want to inspire our audience a little bit more. So if there is something or advice you would say to any women or girls, a part of our community, or just listening to this podcast for the first time and discovering drones, or just got started with drones, is there anything that you would want to share with them?
Yeah. And actually, I was just listening to this podcast, even with Petra's episode, and it's the same thing. Girl, like, we need you. We need you. The community needs you to help inspire more women in the space because there's a lot of us, but there's not enough of us. And we are definitely the minority versus the number of men who fly drones today. And so join the community. Fly drones, show off your work, help encourage the sister next to you to get her hands on your controller and try it out. I think that's so important because you can and you probably know so much more than you think. I was so intimidated because I was on that live aboard boat in the Maldives with, there's not a lot of people on this boat. There were a total of 17 people, six of them were drone pilots, six of them. There were nine total drones on this boat. I was the only female drone pilot. And what I realized is even though I have 2 years of experience and every other man on the boat had at least five, if not started flying drones as soon as drones came out, they would each come to me in secret and ask me a question because they realized I knew more about drones than they did. And they wanted some help around a tip or trick for a setting, or why did this do that, or how would this be better on my drone? Like, and they all came to me, but they didn't want to publicly do it. And so I share this story because, girl, you can do it too. You know more than you think. You, get out there, fly drones, and encourage more women to do it. We need you.
That is such an awesome story. Speechless, but super cool. I love that. So, and then, last but not least, where can our listeners find you if they want to go look up your work, follow your work, see where you are next? How do we get in touch?
Easy. I'm at Christine Lozada everywhere. In terms of figuring out where I am next, that should be one of the hardest things to do, which is why my travel channel is named Where in the World is CL. But I'm at Christine Lozada everywhere.
Awesome. And then last but not least, I am just going to do a quick rapid fire with you. You can answer these questions in 1 to 2 words, and we will get started now.
Ready.
All right. Your favorite location to fly?
Maldives.
Your favorite environment to fly?
Beach.
Favorite drone?
Mavic Air 2S.
And favorite drone accessory?
Filters.
Awesome. And that is all I have for you today, Christine. I really appreciate your time. It was so nice learning from you. I feel inspired. I hope all of you feel inspired by Christine. Don't forget to follow her. We'll be including all of her links in the description of this podcast. And thanks so much again for all of your time today, Christine. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. This was awesome. Thank you.
Absolutely. Bye.